Hey there, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. This is the first in a series that I'm doing on what I call the five essential elements of mountain bike training. You've got flexibility training, strength training, speed training, endurance training, and skills training. Now, it doesn't matter what particular program you're using, you just need to make sure you got these five essential elements in your program, or you're going to be missing out on some results that you could be getting. So especially as a mountain biker, making sure that you have all five things covered in a way that helps your mountain biking is really important, especially as we go into the off season. And we want to make sure that we're setting ourselves up to have the best riding season possible next year. And this is the time when that starts. So the first thing that I'm going to go over, the first element that I'm going to cover is flexibility training. Now, flexibility training is one of those things that, you know, every rider knows that they need. I mean, we instinctively know that being tight, not being able to touch our toes, not being able to, you know, move our arms, you know, because real tight, shoulder muscles and restrictions in the shoulders, just, you know, not being able to move because you've got tightness in muscles. We know that this is not good, but it seems like there's always something more important to do than flexibility training. I mean, we've got rides, we've got our intervals, we've got strength training, you know, and then there's just life. And so it seems like, if you know, for a lot of people, if something's going to get dropped, it's the flexibility training, which is really unfortunate because it's a super powerful tool for us to have as a part of our program. So I think that a lot of the reasons that people don't make better use of flexibility training is that there's a lot of myths and misunderstandings about it. A lot of people don't understand the true benefits of flexibility training, so they don't really understand why they need to be doing it. And then finally, they don't, you know how to make the best use of it. There's a lot of different options and a lot of different ways to use flexibility training. So what's the best way as a mountain biker for, you know, you to use flexibility training? So what I want to do in this podcast is cover those three things. You know, clear up the myths and misunderstandings, explain what the benefits are, and then give you some really solid tips on how you can start using flexibility training as a part of your program. So first up, let's clear up the myths and misunderstandings. Now, first, what is flexibility training? We got the term flexibility and we got the term mobility, and sometimes these terms are used interchangeably when they're not the same thing. Now, flexibility training refers specifically to the ability of your for you to move your joint passively through its range of motion. So it relies heavily on your ability to relax and release tension in the muscles around a joint in order to allow it to move passively. The mobility stuff starts to get into, it's more movement-based, so there's a tension element there. You have to have tension in some of the muscles around a joint to stabilize the joint in order to create the movement that you're looking for. So that presence of tension around the joint is that difference between the two. With flexibility, we're looking to release tension and allow a passive movement. And with mobility training, we're adding that tension element in, and we're looking for some stabilization and stuff around the joint as well. So even though flexibility is an important part of mobility, it is a separate element that needs to be trained by itself. So that's the difference between flexibility and mobility training. Now, a couple myths about flexibility training. Now, one of the most persistent ones is that stretching will actually make you weaker. So what happened was, there was a study a few years ago where they looked at, if you did a static stretch on your hamstrings right before you did a jump test, that you would see a decrease in performance. And, you know, that's kind of one of those things that you look at and you go, well, duh, you know, you'd kind of expect that. But what happened is that got taken to mean that stretching, especially before you work out, is going to decrease your performance, or worse yet, might actually lead to injuries. And so this caused a lot of people to start skipping stretching altogether, especially before they worked out. And again, this is, unfortunate, because it's a very powerful tool. It's something that you should be using, especially before you work out, to help decrease tension levels in muscles that have too much tension. So the take-home message from that study is more, don't do a lot of static stretching right before you do high power, dynamic movement. But in the real world, what we usually see is some stretching and then some sort of movement, mobility drill, and then we get into the strength training and the power training stuff. Most modern workouts have something along those lines. So you bridge that gap between the stretching and the hardcore strength and power training with that mobility warm up. So you don't see that decrease in performance. You don't see that increase in injury that a lot of times people claim could potentially be there. So stretching will not make you weaker. It's not going to increase your injury potential. And another thing, another persistent myth is that if you stretch too much, you can become hyperflexible. And again, that being hyperflexible, meaning that there's only a certain, you know, you need a certain range of motion for your sport, and that having a range of motion much beyond that, you become hyperflexible, and that's going to decrease your performance and open you up to some sort of injury potential. And again, that is one of those things that in theory could happen, but in reality, very rarely happens at all. I mean, for every one person that you can show me stretched too much and became hyperflexible and it started to affect their performance, I'll show you 100 or 1,000 or more riders who don't stretch enough, and that's affecting their performance. So it's really hard to stretch too much and become hyperflexible, especially if you haven't been doing a lot of stretching and mobility work, since you were young, because a lot of us come into this after, you know, years and years, if not decades, of just bad movement, bad posture, too much tension in the wrong areas. So it's one of those things, like, you're not going to suddenly start, you know, stretching a bunch and, you know, within a couple of weeks become hyperflexible. It's really hard to, overcome all of that excess tension that a lot of us come into training with. So again, you know, it's one of those things, people say it and then you ask for specific examples, and there's usually not much in the way of specific examples. It's kind of one of those theoretical arguments that people throw out there, more as an excuse for their own behavior, because they don't want to stretch. And so they have these, prefabricated arguments against it. But anyways, again, neither one of those are true. So you do need to be stretching. And I guess I should have covered this, a little bit earlier when I was talking about what is flexibility training. So with flexibility training, I've talked about stretching already. So static stretching, foam rolling, partner-assisted stretching, massage, any sort of like myofascial release using a lacrosse ball or a tiger tail or something like that. So basically anything that's going to work on releasing and decreasing the tension in the muscles is going to fall under this flexibility training umbrella there. So now that we've gone over, you know, what it is and cleared up some of the myths about it, let's go over what the benefits of flexibility training are, because there's a lot of great stuff that we get from flexibility training. Now, like I touched on earlier, flexibility is the foundation for efficient movement. You know, I talked about how the difference between flexibility and mobility, and flexibility is definitely an important part of mobility, especially if you're looking at it from a performance standpoint. Now, efficient movement just means that you're able to move without wasting a lot of energy in the process. And so there's a couple ways that you waste energy. You can either have an energy leak, where something along the kinetic chain is weak and you're losing some energy there. And you can also lose energy because you have excess tension in the muscles and you're literally having to fight yourself. And so with the excess tension, it's like trying to drive your car with the parking brake on. Can you do it? Yes. You know, if you jam on the gas harder and harder, you will be able to go faster. But the easier thing to do is just take the parking brake off, and then you're going to be able to go faster and burn less gas in the process. So you'll be more efficient. So if you're able to lower the tension levels in these chronically tight muscles, then it will allow you to move and use less energy to create that movement, which means that you're going to be able to get more out of what you already have. You're going to be able to move with more strength and power. You're going to have more endurance, simply because you're not using as much energy fighting yourself and fighting the excess tension that you have in your muscles. So flexibility training is the foundation for that efficient movement, which is the foundation for everything else that you want as an athlete, you know, the pinnacle of which being, you know, being on your bike on the trail and just killing it. So, again, that you got to make sure that you're flexible enough to be able to move like you need to do that. One of the things I've touched on a couple times already is that the idea of decreasing muscle tension and flexibility training is one of the only ways and probably our best way of working on decreasing that muscle tension, trying to balance things out. Because if you look at things from a tension standpoint, you have activities that add tension to the system, things like strength training, riding your bike, doing your intervals, you know, a lot of things that we can think of that add tension to the system. They require tension in the muscles in order for you to do them. But there's very few things that allow us to decrease the tension that works on the other side of that. So we need to maintain balance in the body. We need some sort of tension balance in the body. And if we get too far in one direction, if we have too much tension, like I already said, it's going to affect us in our efficiency of movement and stuff like that. So we want to make sure that we're working on decreasing that muscle tension. And again, without flexibility training, even mobility training, because like I mentioned, it has a tension element in it. If you're not using true flexibility training, the static stretching, the foam rolling, stuff like that, then you are continually just adding tension over and over and over and over to the system. And it's not healthy for it. So you need something that's going to allow you to do that. And flexibility training is our best tool for that. So number one reason you need to have it in your program is because it's the best way to work on, you know, maintaining that balance. So, and the last thing I want to point out is that it is one of the best ways to prevent overuse injuries, because the, you know, tension in the muscles, excess tension in the muscles, one, it's going to reduce the joint gap space. You need a gap between your joints. And as the muscles get tighter, it's going to reduce that joint gap space. So it's going to start causing extra wear and tear on the muscles or on the joints. You know, like I mentioned, it affects the efficiency of our movement. So besides having to work harder, a lot of times tight muscles will cause us to move differently. We will actually move around them. That's the other energy leak that I was mentioning, how we'll have a weakness somewhere where it's not actually a weakness as much as your body is having to move around some sort of restriction somewhere else. And so it's not able to stay strong like it needs to in one area because it has to somehow move around to compensate for another area. And so that the tight muscles will show up like that. And then that repeated just, you know, use of the joint and it, you know, just a little bit out of whack over and over. It's like the alignment in your car. Eventually things are going to wear down. So, you know, that shortening of the joint gap space and also the knocking of the joint out of alignment during movement in some cases, those two things are going to add up to overuse injuries. So flexibility training is one of our best ways to help prevent those two things and help keep us injury free. So again, that's the main benefits of flexibility training. You know, the efficient movement, which is going to directly increase our performance. It's the foundation for everything else that we want as a rider. Making sure that we're decreasing that muscle tension, and you know, one of the only ways for us to do that. So that's one of the reasons it's super important for us to have it in our program. And then you know, helping prevent overuse injuries. So all very powerful things for us. That if you're not using flexibility training, you're not getting from your program. So, you know, you're setting yourself up for a lot of bad things and really making yourself work harder with the other elements of your training if you don't have a good flexibility training, you know, portion of your program in place. So, moving on to the last part, how do we use flexibility training as a mountain biker? Now, here's what I suggest when I'm working with a new client. This is exactly what I tell them to do. I tell them, find out your top three flexibility priorities. So I have them go through some basic stretches for the main areas of the body, the neck, the shoulders, the wrists, the chest, the back, you know, moving down the lower body, looking at the hamstrings, the quads, the glutes, the calves, you know, so just the basic areas, go through those and make note of your three tightest areas. The other thing you want to be on looking out for are asymmetries. So if you're really tight on one side and not so tight on the other, that's a big red flag. You want to be working on those areas. So you're looking for asymmetries first, and then just kind of your generally tightest areas next, but prioritize your top three areas based on that criteria. Now, what you want to do once you've got those three areas picked out is you want to spend at least 15 minutes a day doing some foam rolling and stretching for those areas. A little bit every day is the key to getting the most out of flexibility training. And so this is why it's important to have your priorities, because you need to know what you're working on during that 15 minutes, and you need to have a plan. So you got your priorities, 15 minutes a day, committed to it. You also want to make sure that those are the areas that you're foam rolling and stretching prior to training and riding, because these are your tight and your flexibility weak links, if you will. So they are going to create inefficient movement. They're going to be causing extra wear and tear on the joint. So you want to be trying to reduce the tension in those areas prior to high stress movement, things like your training, your strength training, and your riding, because that will set you up for better movement and also reduce wear and tear on the joint. So some targeted stretching before you train is extremely important and extremely effective if you do it right. So, and then the last thing is you want to schedule flexibility sessions into your overall training program. And, you know, just like a strength training session or just like a ride that you would have scheduled, you need to have 1 to 2 longer flexibility sessions planned in. And these are perfect for recovery days. And so spending 45 to 60 minutes on, foam rolling and stretching out, again, focusing on your priority areas, but branching out from there and trying to hit most of all the other areas of the body at least once a week is a good thing. So, maybe having an upper body day and a lower body day if you're doing 2 days a week. If you're doing 1 day, then you need to kind of, get a few more stretches in there. But, again, on a rest day is not just sitting around doing nothing. Doing some flexibility training on that rest day is extremely important. But again, it doesn't just happen. You have to schedule it in. So, those 15 minutes a day, just committed that you're going to put in, and then your 1 to 2 longer sessions a week that you're going to do as well. And that's it. It doesn't need to be complicated. It can be pretty simple. But again, simple doesn't mean easy. You just got to put in the time. You got to be dedicated to it, and it'll really start to pay off for you down the road. Now, real quick, one of the common questions I get is, what about yoga? I think yoga is great flexibility training. I think that certain types of yoga are a little bit better for flexibility training than others, but I'm not going to get in and try and break down all the different types of yoga. What I will say is that if you are doing yoga, I would still suggest doing 1 self-directed flexibility training session each week. So I'd still encourage you to do your own foam rolling and stretching at least once a week, because it's going to allow you to kind of tune into your body a little bit better, and also allow you to target, the specific areas that you find are tight. You're going to get a little bit more out of it than you might out of a group setting, where they're just kind of doing a general class. And so you're finding some muscles aren't as tight as others. You're able to spend more time on those tight areas, which is going to help you more. So, still get, at least 1 self-directed flexibility session in each week if you're doing yoga. So there you have it. That is it. Flexibility training in a nutshell. Extremely, extremely important element for you to have as part of your training program. Like I said, right now I highly suggest finding your 3 problem areas, committing that 15 minutes a day to it, and getting at least 1 dedicated flexibility training session in each week. I guarantee you, if you do that within 3 to 4 weeks, you're going to be feeling a huge difference, both on the trail and your regular training and just kind of in everyday life. So, increasing flexibility is one of those things that, it benefits everything that you do. So it's one of the most general, training effects that you can have. You increase your flexibility, and it improves a lot of different stuff. So it's another reason that makes it so important for us to do. So that's it. If you got any questions on flexibility training, you can post them on this blog post that goes along with this podcast. I'll be happy to get to them and answer any questions you may have. If you got any questions on off-season training in general, be sure and post them there. And look for my next part of the series, which will be coming out in a couple days. And this time I'll be covering strength training, which is obviously right in my wheelhouse. But just again, explaining, you know, what some of the advantages of strength training are, especially from an endurance training standpoint. I don't think that a lot of people really understand how strength training can directly affect your endurance capacity. And so I'm going to explain how that works in this next podcast, along with a couple of other things, and then just really just break down for you exactly how I look at strength training, a basic workout template that I use, and then a basic periodization scheme that you can use. So I'm going to share a lot of tips and great strategies with you with that. So keep an eye out for that. So in the meantime, be sure and visit me at bikejames.com. I've got my free 30-day MTB skills and fitness program you can sign up for and get started using strength training to help you ride faster, longer, with more confidence on the trail. And I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and I will talk to you in the next one.